Come to Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 26. And before I begin, I want to ask you a question. Why did you come here this morning? What was your reason? Because in this story, people were coming to Jesus, and they were coming from a long way away. There's about 80 kilometers away was probably the furthest one, which is kind of the equivalent of walking from Victor Harbor. Anyone walk from Victor Harbor today to come to church? Why do you come to church this morning? Do you come because of community, because of the people that are here, because your friends and your family are here? Do you come to because you're on a roster and because it says you should be here on a Sunday morning? Do you come because it's where your kids get fed and get looked after and nurtured? Do you come here to worship the Lord with this community here? I want you to try and do this with me, okay? I've got actions for this sermon, and it is a bit, I'll get the right words right, and you'll be hearing it a little bit throughout the sermon. We need to grow up. Can everyone do that? Grow up. Grow up. That's good. Grow up. Reach out. So try not to smack the person next to you, but reach out to them in love and kindness instead, okay? So reach out, and then keep the heart pure, okay? That's what we're talking about this morning. Okay, it's grow up, reach out, and keep the heart pure. I think I said core pure. You'll see that in the notes. Keep the core pure. Why am I talking about this? Well, as I said before, Jesus had been praying all night. Just a little bit before this, a bit of context of this chapter, of this verse. Jesus had been praying all night, been up all night, asking the Lord, who should I have for my disciples? Who are the 12 that I need to choose? And so in the morning, he chooses them, and he's up on a mountain, and then he comes down with his disciples from the mountain, and as I said before, he comes to the plain, to the level place, and then he starts to meet with the people who have been gathered around. As I said, from about 80 kilometers they've walked to get here, from Sidon and Tyre and a whole lot of other places as well. And what are they coming for? Well, they're coming to be healed, some of them. Some of them are coming to be healed of the sickness of their illnesses, of some disturbance within their mind, of the evil things that are happening in their life. To find peace, they're coming to Jesus for. They've heard about the power that he has. And so it says the power went out from him as he touched them. As people were touching them, touching Jesus, they got close to him. And the power went out. But it also says that some of them came to hear from him, to be taught by him. They acknowledged that there was some kind of wisdom that this person had, Jesus Christ. So they came to listen. Now, does anyone know, this is, if you go on, you've got the blessings, blessed are those who are poor, blessed are those who are hungry, and there's a list of about four blessings there. Does that sound familiar to anyone? Does that sound familiar to another kind of sermon that Jesus taught early on in another gospel? In Matthew's gospel, you get the Sermon on the Mount, don't you? The Sermon on the Mount, where you get this great wisdom. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. A lot of people throughout the history of the universe have said that is one of the greatest sermons, the greatest messages about how to live, about ethics that you will ever read or hear in your life. The Sermon on the Mount. It's about four times longer than this, what was called the Sermon on the Plain. Okay? So we have Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain. Kind of the same, but slightly different. One's a bit longer, one's a bit shorter. One has a bit of other things to it. But they're kind of the same. So either Jesus repeated a sermon and tweaked it to the audience, or it's just Luke and Matthew recording it in different ways. I tend to think it's probably he had the same kind of message that he kept saying to people. So I think having the Sermon on the Mountain and having the Sermon on the Plain is a great opportunity to talk about some characteristics of God, some theology, okay? I'm going to present you two really big words if you can remember them, that's great. If you can't, that's okay too. But great concepts of the characteristics of God. The first one is the transcendence of God. Does anyone know that word, transcendence of God? God transcends all. He's above all. He's outside of the created universe. He created that universe in the first place. He is all-powerful, awesome, majestic. He is enthroned in heaven. God transcends all, the Alpha and the Omega. The transcendent God is the reason why this cathedral is built that looked like a big finger pointing up to the sky. God is Lord of all. Let's give glory to God. Those buildings are shouting out to the people around. Those great cathedrals. The transcendence of God. And we see that when we have the wisdom of God coming from the mountain, the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke's gospel, we see it in the transfiguration of Christ, which we'll see in a couple of weeks' time, where Jesus is up on a mountain and he shines with all glory to those around him. The transcendence of God. And in this story, people recognize the transcendence of God in this person, Jesus Christ, because power was going out from him. But now we get to the next word, and it might be one that you're less familiar with. The imminence of God. Has anyone heard that one? So if you think about the other one, the transcendence being the vertical, this is about the horizontal, okay? The imminence of God, the closeness of God. God is not just above and made creation, but is actually in it, as close as you and me, as the chair on your seat, as the breath in your lungs. The imminence of Jesus, the imminence of God. God is close to us and actually cares about us, cares about what you had for breakfast, cares about all the issues that you come here with, cares about the struggles that you're having during the week, cares about the fact that it was hard to get the kids ready this morning. He cares about us and he loves us so deeply. So we have the transcendence of God, the majestic nature of God, who we give glory to. And we also have the imminence of God. And we see them both in Jesus Christ, don't we? Jesus Christ came. Power went out to them. He touched them. Do you get that concept? The horizontal and the vertical. Now, why am I talking about this? I think there's some great lessons for us to learn about why we come here this morning. And it's got to do with partly where my kids go for school. So, Jake is going to Maryville High School, and this is the logo that he has on his T-shirt. And he's not quite on the hat, there's just a big M on the hat, isn't there? But you've seen this logo of a tree, a great big tree. And last night I was taking some photos of the gum trees in Tuzmore Park. Beautiful gum trees there, beautiful, large, majestic things. And we have the great privilege of being able to walk past them each morning as we take our kids to school. And you can smell them as well, those lemon-scented gums. They're beautiful, aren't they? Amazing. Now, if you looked at the lectionary readings, that's what the set readings for this morning, you had that Luke passage, but you also had a couple of other passages. One from Psalm 1, and you can read these in your newsletter, and also one from Jeremiah, and it says this. I'm getting to a point about why we're talking about trees. Okay, it says this in Jeremiah 17, 5-10. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub. No one wants to be a shrub. A shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Think saltbush in the Australian desert. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They should be like a tree planted by water, sending out roots by the stream. Think River Redgum by the River Murray. And you see this pattern all the way through the scriptures about trees being like growing in your discipleship, getting deeper. This tree shall not fear when the heat comes. And we know about heat lately in Adelaide, don't we? And its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious and it does not cease to bear fruit. So trees, as an image of God, of growing in God, of growing our discipleship. What's that got to do with the imminence of God and the transcendence of God? Well, I said it to you before. What was it? It was grow up, remember? Grow up, reach out, keep the heart pure. Okay, so grow up. Grow up means to reach for the holiest of holies. To acknowledge that we are not God, that there's something bigger and better than all of us here. That God is the one who created us. No, that God is the Savior and not us. To reach up. So we come to worship and we reach up. We acknowledge that there's some kind of power, some kind of freedom, some kind of peace that can only be found in God. We acknowledge the transcendence of God's character and we reach up because we can't help but do anything else. Are you reaching up as a Christian? The next one is to reach out. And you saw Jesus do this on the sermon, just before the sermon on the plain, where he healed others. He brought peace to their minds. He reached out. He loved those around him. And it didn't matter who it was or where they came from. It says they came from a long way away. He reached out in love to them, and that's what we're required to do. We're required to reflect the nature of Jesus Christ in our lives and everything that we do. So are we reaching out? Are we loving others the way that Jesus loved? I look around and go, yeah, I reckon actually we do quite a lot of good community work here in this church. We do some of that reaching out. And maybe some of the challenge for us is to actually grow up. So we come here in this church service to also reach out. And it talks about fruit. Whenever there's trees being talked about in the Bible, there's often fruit. What's the fruit of who you are? And is that fruit going to be loving actions to others? Fruit that others can feast on and enjoy. Shade that others can enjoy. But the last one, keep the core pure. Why am I talking about this? Well, I haven't actually got into the meat of his sermon yet. That sermon on the plain. This is a picture of a tree at Tusmore Park again. It's down the road from us. And it's the tree that fell down last Saturday. And if you look at it, I got up a bit closer, and I don't know if you can see it from there, but it's been eaten out from the middle. And there's white ants or there's ants through the middle. So there's actually, the core is rotten. It's hollow. It looked really healthy on the outside. It looked okay. But in the inside, it wasn't. And I think when you read Jesus' sermons, it's about shifting us from hypocrisy, looking good on the outside, to actually what's going on in the heart here. Make sure that what's happening in the heart is pure. And come to me for healing, for purity of your heart. So if we look at just this little section of the sermon, and if you keep coming back here, the next few weeks we'll see a bit of the rest of the sermon as well. You can read it yourselves tonight. It's got this list of blessings and this list of woes. Okay, a list of blessings is what gives you a satisfied life, and the list of woes is the opposite of that. And it's a very interesting list. It's not really what you would come up with yourself. If you were to brainstorm, get a group together, okay, what makes a blessing a blessed life? You wouldn't say, oh, to be poor, to be hungry, to be weeping, and to be rejected. Yeah, that's what I really want to root for in my life. You wouldn't say that. But here is Jesus saying it. What's he mean by it? Now, some like to say it's poor in spirit, and that's what it says in Matthew's gospel. But there's also this sense that the blessed are the poor because Jesus had a heart for the poor. Those who are hungry, those who need their bellies filled with food, but also hungry for the stuff of God in this life and for the life of others. Are you hungry for the gospel? Are you hungry for the gospel in other people's lives? Are you hungry for the peace that can be found in Jesus in your family's lives, in Burnside? Does it make you weep? Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem as he came to it. They thought he's going to be so excited about this Jerusalem. It's got this great temple. He's going to be so excited. But the first thing he does is he gets on his knees and he weeps for the city. You've lost your way. Have we wept for our city? And as a result of this kind of this hope that we have for the future, but this discontent that we have for now, it causes rejection from others. And we have the list, and I have to keep moving on. I have the list of the woes there, which is the opposite of that. Do you seek the praise from others? Are you rich? And do you like to keep things to yourself? Do you like to just be satisfied and not give it up? I like to think of this. Do you live life with an open hand or with a closed fist? Do you act like a servant to others? Or are you selfish? I think that's what Jesus is getting at here. What's your core? Does it need a change of heart? So to finish off with, in Jesus Christ, we see the example of someone who grew up, who reached out widely, as wide as he possibly could reach. And we see someone who had a pure heart, a pure core. It wasn't rotten in the middle. And he acknowledges that there's a lot of people out there with rotten middles that need healing, that need Jesus in their lives to fill that core. So why do you come to church? Why did you come here this morning? Can we come here to grow up? To come here to reach out and to keep the core pure? I pray that we can. Amen.